Your Sunday Funday just got a whole lot more fun. It's Frank and Kathy on WGN Radio right now.
Hi, Kathy.
It makes me smile every time I hear it, and
totally
I know
does.
We say that every time, but Ashley's actually not here.
She's not. It almost feels like your daughter's doing something fun like that, right? Just teasing you or messing around with your headphones and recorded something you stumbled onto, like an old tape, right? Like an old cassette tape.
Right. It sounds a little retro, vintage something, but...
She's probably listening. Hey, Ashley.
Anyway, yeah.
Ariel's sitting in for Ashley today. What's up, buddy?
I'm good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And you've done this how many times?
This will be my third time. Frank was actually my my first, so, you know, he was
very awesome.
Nice to be
there. I popped his radio cherry.
Are you getting a... Hello. What? Are you getting a phone call?
I am. Do you mind if I go get that?
No,
is that a personal call?
Go take it.
I mean, seriously.
No, it's all business.
I mean, you were fired from Ellen's show for this reason. Right?
I was not fired.
You worked on the Ellen show?
A while ago, yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's famous. We got a famous producer from Los Angeles.
Our guest is here.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, our guest is here.
Oh, now he's busy. He's getting
personal. Okay, I'll be right back.
Is that David?
I don't know who it is. I'm going to find out. I'm still new at this. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
You know where the door is, right? It's
go find out.
Down the hall to the left.
It's going to be just kind of a crazy day, I think, because with a Bear-Packer game going on, is anybody listening?
No, but you know why? Because I just said that comment and nobody texted you're rude or said anything mean.
Right.
Which is good.
About popping his,
Yeah.
So who knows? I have to believe there's some non-sports people that could care less about the Bear-Packer game that may be listening. I don't know. Text
or
us, call
more
us.
About us. Yeah, I mean, we'd love to hear you. Matter of fact, I am in agreement with you, Kathy, that I am probably, because we're looking at the Bears game as we're doing the show, there's probably very little people listening to the radio, which is okay.
Yeah.
But if you're out there and you're that, like, you know, one or two people that are, have that radio by your ear, give us a call or text us. We want to know what you're doing if you're not watching the game and casually listening to us on the radio.
Okay, I'm gonna make a bet with you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the first caller is going to be somebody that is out and about shopping, getting their holiday shopping done.
Right.
Doing something along those lines. Holiday related.
Okay.
Right now. That's what I'm gonna make that bet.
Well, it's good because I'm sure it's stressful with everybody out there, you know.
Oh, don't talk to me, about the holidays and stress.
I was doing it last night with the kids.
What were you doing?
We went to a shopping center out in the suburbs. Not a mall. A shopping outdoor. It was nice.
It's kind of the same.
Yeah. But we ended up at Bass Pro Shop.
Okay. Oh.
That's a whole experience. Like
fun.
It's like Disneyland for the kids.
Can't you actually go fishing inside those places?
Completely.
Yeah.
You can go fishing, you know, hunting.
Hunting?
Yeah.
Really?
Shoot people. Hey, somebody's listening. Look at that.
Whoa. Woo-hoo!
We got one listener. Yes.
Right.
Well, listen, we're excited about today's show.
I know.
We have a giveaway, by the way. Now you're going to see people start calling. When you give free stuff away.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's good. We'll take it.
We're going to help you deal with that holiday stress, by the way. Dr. Chloe, did we get that right?
I think it's the way I'm going to remember it is ow.
Yeah.
Dr. David Clow.
Clow.
K-L-O-W, Clow. He's a therapist locally. He's the owner of the Skylight Counseling Center in Chicago. So he's a therapist, and Lord knows we could all use a therapist about this time of year, if not every day of the year. But hey, we're going to talk to him about handling some holiday stress, whether it's with the family or without.
Yeah. Well, listen, hey, we're calling. We're asking. People are responding. Maureen, how are you? You're listening and not watching the game. How awesome is that?
I think it's pretty awesome. I have to make chocolate chip oatmeal cookies today.
Ooh.
Yeah, you combine them, chocolate chip and oatmeal in the same cookie?
Yes, I do.
Whoa.
And it tastes great.
And do you put raisins in them?
I make oatmeal raisin cookies separately. I don't put raisins and chocolate in the same recipe. That wouldn't be right.
No,
but,
I agree.
But oatmeal and chocolate, too. That's an interesting.
Yeah.
How far are you from the studio? We're at 303 Wacker.
And are they fresh out of the oven?
Yeah, you can just make it down here and...
So, Maureen, are you one of these people that have your shopping done and gifts wrapped and now it's just time to bake?
I have my shopping pretty much done. I have to admit I use Amazon an awful lot. The gifts are not wrapped. They're sitting in my extra bedroom where Santa's Village is looking like.
Oh, fun. And you have a lot of gifts to wrap?
Enough, little tchotchkes for people and that kind of thing. Our family doesn't do anything big.
Are you listening to us on an old school antenna radio, or are you on the computer?
I'm on a regular old radio in the kitchen,
yes.
All right. Yeah, that's what I grew up on. So thanks, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen. Appreciate
Merry Christmas.
It. Yeah. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Bye-bye.
I can smell those cookies.
Me, too. And then we got a bunch of texts flying in. Maybe we're wrong, Kathy. Maybe people do like us.
Yay, you guys are listening.
Totally.
Got a belly full of barbecue from the patio?
Oh, patio is awesome. You ever eat a patio?
I have not. Where is it?
Freaking best Greek chicken you'll ever eat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go then.
They make like a lemon. There's one in Fakingery out in the burbs, and there's a couple all over, but they make some really good barbecue.
Excellent. I love barbecue.
People are sitting around making cookies and wrapping presents and listening to their friends on radio. That's what it's all about, man.
I like it. Yeah, being festive. There's so much energy in the city right now. When I drove in, first of all, I think it was the first time in a couple of weeks I actually saw the skyline because it's sunny and clear today.
Yeah.
It's warm. It feels like a summer day out there because it's close to 50 degrees.
Totally.
Some football games going on, so there's a lot of energy in the city.
Speaking of which, Carol's watching some football game. Carol, what's going on?
Oh.
Hi. I'm just decorating the tree. I'm not a football fan, so I'm not really watching the game. I just heard it on your news report that they were ahead.
Do you have it on the background at least?
No. I don't know what's going on, really.
Oh, good.
So I just listen to the score or just root for them anyways.
What are you doing today, then?
Decorating the tree.
You're just getting to that now? Listen, I'm judging.
It's the ornament.
I'm judging.
Dang you, Carol.
Sorry, Carol, I'm judging you. Although I have some decorations that I just got at the Chris Kindle Market on Friday that I'm going to be putting up on the tree. Yes, yeah.
I didn't get there this year.
Do you have typical decorations that you put on every year, and is it like this big family thing where you put the same decorations on and you share memories of what they are?
Don't sound so
ornaments.
Gabby.
The ornaments.
I was a teacher, so I have a lot of teachers' ornaments, so sometimes I put a lot of them on.
Oh.
And then I have ornaments from different states that I visited, so I put them on. And, of course, I got the Cubs ornaments and Bulls and Bears.
Nice.
Excellent.
Hey, Carol, we got to get going here in a little bit. We appreciate you listening. Keep it going. We got some good guests today. Did you ever hear of Dos Toros Taqueria?
No, I'm in the city. Where is that located?
Oh, well, you just wait because they're coming.
They'll
tell you all about it.
They're going to be one of the owners are going to be here talking about the boom in Mexican food and how they do it right compared to everybody else. That's going to happen a little later in the show. So if you're hanking for some Mexican, hang on, Carol.
Thanks, Carol. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Bye. Excellent. Wait, somebody's listening to us from Kennebunkport, Maine?
Nice.
Wow.
It's the little thing called the internet.
Excellent.
They can listen anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue. Folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I don't want to be a tiger, because tigers play too rough.
Yeah, a little Elvis Presley never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I used to love Elvis. I still do. I wanted to be Elvis.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, you kind of have an Elvis look.
I coiffed my hair one
maybe,
time.
Maybe, with the hair.
Yeah, if you coiff it right.
Did you just want all the chicks, or did you want to be a singer?
I had all the chicks.
Of course you did.
I just wanted to move my hips like Elvis.
Of course you did. And you can't?
I can. Really, honestly, the truth is I wanted to play guitar. And my family was such a big Elvis. Like, my mom was diehard. Cry when she's seen him on TV.
Wow.
That's the power. If you can ever... Like, I remember this vividly, like, when he would walk into a room, you'd see, like, the old videos of him, and these women would just die. They would,
scream
and cry and faint. Who do you know that has that power today? Besides Donald Trump, of course.
Today, crying for another reason. Today, I don't know. I remember when my daughter was younger, the Jonas Brothers, to watch her and her friends, when they walked into the room or on stage, scream and actually start crying, it was really hard for me to not tease them. And really, it's the Jonas Brothers. But I actually just talked to somebody last week that named their dog Joe after the Jonas Brothers.
Really?
Like, just
did they have that big of an impact
on a certain age of kids? Yes.
Nobody quite as impactful as New Kids on the Block, though.
Yeah, now we're little closer to my day.
Bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure in your tenure in radio, you've had to have interviewed them at one point or another, at least Donnie Wahlberg or somebody, right?
Yes. Yes. I remember I took someone with, I was working at the Special Olympics at the time, not working, but just volunteering. And I took someone from Special Olympics. She was the biggest New Kids on the Block fan. And it's one of the, like, it almost makes me cry just talking about it. To see her meet her favorite band in the whole world, it was just like, that's why I do this, to be able to facilitate that happening. And just, it was a lifelong dream of hers.
Was it Donnie or who was it? Do you remember?
Donnie? Well, it was all of them, but I think Donnie was her favorite.
Donnie's the one that's married to Jenny McCarthy.
Yes. Oh, wait, then it wasn't him. Wait, was it him? It was so long ago. It was when they...
Let's see if I can remember their names. Donnie, AJ, who was the...
I confuse him with...
How do we... Joey. Joey was a younger
Joey
one.
Joey Fatone?
Not Joey. That's a different band. That's NSYNC.
See? I get him confused.
Joey McIntyre.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But there's the other who was like kind of... It was Donnie, and then the other guy was... My wife would kill me if I didn't know this right now. One of our listeners has to know the entire band members from NTKOB.
Right.
As they were now referred to. Anyway, while we're figuring that out, the most important thing in the world, let's talk about some holiday stuff going on. You getting out there at all? Are you shopping? Or
you know, I did a little at Chris Kindle Market. I love buying the old gifts, and we have a lot of German in our family. So I lost, have you ever heard about the pickle? You put the pickle in the tree.
Never heard of a pickle in a tree.
No, you plant the pickle, or you bury the pickle.
You bury the pickle.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
That's your Saturday night. Sorry.
It's a Sunday show, Kathy. People are in church right now.
No, it's a pickle, and it's a German tradition, I believe. This is how we grew up. So it's an ornament, and I have to believe it goes based in the old days. Somehow it was an actual pickle. But you hide the pickle in the tree, and whichever person, child most likely, finds the pickle, then you get an extra present.
So this is not a real pickle. I mean,
so we would, now it's an ornament, and you can get them at Chris Kindle Market. So if you see pickle ornaments, you'll know why. Because it's apparently German tradition to hide the pickle, and whichever child finds the pickle in the tree gets an extra present.
It's like life, isn't it? It's just like marriage.
I figured it was for real because we talked to Heidi Klum once upon a time about it, and she knew all about hiding the pickle.
Of course she did. Of course she would. How's your pug, by the way, speaking of pickles?
Oh, nice segue.
Yeah.
Speaking of pickles.
Wait, hold on. We got some clarification on New Kids on the Block. Hold on. Let's hear from our caller. Hey, Karen, give us the skinny on New Kids. Who are they again?
We should be embarrassed.
Yeah.
They are Donnie Wahlberg, Joe McIntyre, Jordan Knight, John Knight, and Danny Wood.
That's right. The Knight Brothers. Jordan. And Danny Wood. Okay.
Danny. Okay. Yeah. I think Danny's coming out with a new HGTV show, right? Or is it?
John is,
yeah.
Oh, about what?
Yes.
I'm sure Karen could tell us.
Exploring ferns. Yes, he showed a preview of it on this year's cruise.
Wait, what is it about it? I didn't hear it.
He restores ferns.
Restores barns. Oh.
Interesting. Wait, you missed the part that she said she was on a cruise, which is this thing that New Kids on the Block does.
Oh.
And all there to take their fans out to sea, and like literally like thousands of people, right, Karen?
So wait, did you see him in bathing suits?
There's about 2,000 girls, yes.
Oh, good.
And guys, there are men that come.
How are they looking in their bathing suits these days?
Oh, they are quite fine. Donnie Wahlberg is washboard abs. Jordan's washboard abs. Joe.
Still?
All of them are. Danny. Yes.
Wow.
They're all pretty hardcore workout guys.
I'm impressed.
And they love to take their shirt off.
I'm sure. Now, does it ever happen, Karen, where some of these fans get lucky with the band? I mean, does that ever happen on these cruises?
I don't know.
So you haven't quite. I mean,
there's 2,000 girls, guys. Yeah.
Karen, so let me ask you this: if Donnie comes over to you, he's like, "Hey, sugar,
sugar,
come on back to my cabin.
Sugar.
Let's do some stabbing in the
cabin." Well, Jenny is usually on the cruise with him. So.
Oh, Jenny. Of course she is. She's smart.
Mm-hmm. She's a sweetie.
Every time she's been dating Jenny, either she goes or her family is always on the boat. Her dad, her sisters.
Oh, really?
Somebody's on the boat with them.
Fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to go sometime, Frank.
Totally. Yeah, let's plan that for next year. Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye.
Now we know. Now
we're up to date on
the
our
Knight
new kids.
Brothers.
Yeah, the
Forgot
Knight Brothers.
That.
Is that who you were thinking of?
Yeah, it was actually Donnie Wood that I introduced my friend to, and she just lost her mind.
Really?
Yeah. It was cute.
So before we have to break, I am curious about your pug life going on now.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about, I have a puppy. Never intended to get another puppy, but we're a pug family, and we haven't had one in a few years. So had an opportunity to get a pug puppy about 4 months old and switched food. Like when we got it from the owner, she gave us some food and we switched. Very, very similar, but apparently it's enough to make a big difference where I have some delightful stains on my white rug. And I'm not a white rug person. It just happened. I have a white rug in this room. Anyway, so it's no longer white. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, I feel for you.
It's been pretty not fun.
That's why I avoid puppies. I love petting them. I love playing with them. I cannot raise a dog from puppy stage.
But
can't do it.
So cute. And it's all part of the training process. And he is learning to be potty trained, but it was just going through some difficult time during that food change. But this morning, as I was in the shower, he pulled all the toilet paper off the roll. And then literally, and I'd just taken him out for the morning and he had already done everything. So I thought I was safe. So pulls all the toilet paper. And then as I'm blow drying my hair, I come out and there's a couple of deuces right next to the toilet paper. Oh. I just thought, oh, the irony.
Yeah.
The irony.
He was kind of thinking about that, though. I mean, he set it up. The toilet
paper. It was a warning.
It was a warning. Yeah. He was telling you.
I guess.
You got to go. I got to go.
Right.
We got to go, actually. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to do a little bit of news and then talk about dealing with holiday stress with the family. Dr. Clow?
Clow. Just think ow.
Clow.
Stress, ow.
Dr. Clow is joining us. And, you know, as Kathy does a little bit more research here on Dr. Clow, very interesting background. I think we're going to spiral off into a couple different segues here. All right, we'll be right back. It's a beautiful day. Oh, yeah, it is a beautiful day out there.
Love it.
Almost 50. The Bears are still winning.
Are they?
People are listening to the radio.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Isn't it cool? You know what podcasts have done for radio? I think it's been a brilliant 360, in my opinion, because everyone was afraid, oh, podcasting is going to kill radio. All podcasting is really talk radio on the internet. And this goes to the internet anyway. When we're done here, we get our podcast uploaded. Yeah. So it's pretty much the same thing. But I think it's given a resurgence to the idea of people sitting there listening to two people having conversations or multiple people having conversations, which is, in essence, talk radio.
Yes, it is. And I'm loving it.
Speaking of which, you pulled this article, and we were just talking about it, from Elephant Journal?
Oh, ElephantJournal.com.
What is this here?
Yeah, it's a great source. But I saw the headline, 6 Tips for a Happier, Healthier, and More Harmonious Holiday. I think we all want that, right?
We do. And some of the factors they list here are kind of common sense, like get some good sleep.
Duh.
Even if you're busy. Hydrate with more water.
That is important because there's a lot of imbibing. Not that I know personally, but there's a lot of imbibing in perhaps some alcoholic beverages at parties. And
who being? What?
People imbibing.
What's imbibing?
It's taking part in, like drinking lots.
Oh.
Well, not lots, but yeah. Yep, taking part in having some cocktails over the holidays.
Basically.
Yes.
Fill up on nutritious food.
Important because there's a bunch of cookies and a lot of holiday treats out there. So that's going to make you feel like crap if that's all you eat. And when you feel bad, then you're probably going to be a jerk.
You're going to act bad and you're going to. Right, exactly. Indulge smartly. So, you know, don't go too crazy.
And what we just talked about, alcohol and cookies.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then move your body, which I think is good during the. People tend to forget this one. Mm-hmm. You're so busy with shopping and parties and stuff. You don't make time for that workout.
No, but this says even if you just take 10 minutes to stretch in the morning, like right when you get out of bed, or even sometimes I'll do it in bed. Stretch.
I don't know if that's considered stretching.
Whatever.
It works for me. It's called getting out of bed.
I don't care.
All right. And then finally, take personal time.
Oh, that's tough.
That is tough.
That's tough. Well, maybe we can talk to an expert about that.
Dr. David Clow is joining us in studio, author, therapist, God to many. David, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your show.
So we should say first, congratulations. This is your first book?
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay. You Are Not Crazy, Letters from Your Therapist. So I take it it's letters from you.
It's letters from me.
To patients.
Kind of.
It's, real patients?
Well, kind of like a conglomeration of what most people come in with. So the names have been changed. The stories have been changed. But
to protect their identity.
To protect their
identity.
Yeah.
And to also really to normalize that like what everybody thinks they're going through and they're going through, they're the only one that kind of we've all got it.
Yeah, I tell that to my wife all the time. If you think we're the only ones going through this.
No, everybody is at certain stages. I mean, we'll see stuff on social media of, oh, look at this happy family over the holidays. Aren't they great? Example, I took a picture of my kids putting ornaments on the trees. I literally had to fight with them for 10 minutes. I said, I swear I will not give you any presents if you don't stand here for a picture.
Those moments before she smashed an ornament over her son's head.
Most people don't know what's really going on inside other people's lives or other people's families.
Yeah. Dr. Duffy has a great quote. He says, he goes, behind the prettiest doors in the suburbs lie the biggest problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's got them. So what do you hope people will get out of your book?
Well, first, at least realize that they're not alone in their experience. There's nothing wrong with them. Because when you start in with, like, what's wrong with me? Why do I do that? Then
victim,
like,
mode.
Yeah. Then the investigation kind of changes. The chance for changing kind of changes. So at least start with, hey, this is part of the human condition. I mean, I have an advantage of hearing lots of people's lives, stories on a daily basis. And so after a while, I started to realize, like, this is just the human condition. We're all feeling a little stuck. We're all feeling a little lonely.
Yeah. Do you mentally, when you start to, like, that statement of, I hear a lot of the same conversations, do you mentally immediately categorize them as in type 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in your brain? And it's like, I know the response for this. So I'm going to immediately go to that cache, like a computer, and pull out that response that I know they're going to get from this.
Well, I hope that therapy doesn't turn into just computers doing
it.
So, I mean, I know people are doing a lot of therapy actually on phones and texting.
Sure.
But no, I mean, it's a human endeavor. But a lot of people go through similar things. But, you know, each person has their own story to deal with. So I try to meet them where they are.
So with the holidays coming up, I'm sure there are going to be many situations of families getting together and there's conflict. Whether, and this seems to be very common nowadays, is anytime a family member brings up politics, it's like, no, off limits over the holidays. Don't even go there. What would your advice be for people when they walk in the door knowing that Uncle Joe is just a D-bag and it's going to be a hard time getting along with him and stomaching him? What would your advice be for situations like that?
Well, first, be prepared. Right. I mean, I've been talking to patients who've been thinking about the holidays since Labor Day. They know that Uncle Joe is going to be there. And so they have to get themselves ready for a conversation or interaction that they're not
Does
ready
that fall
for.
Under obsessive compulsive at that juncture, if you're thinking about it that far out?
Yeah. But then I'd worry why are you that anxious about it?
Yeah.
But to the opposite extreme, don't just sort of stroll in there thinking, like, oh, it's going to be fine. I guess, you know, with an Uncle Joe kind of thing, if there's somebody who's inappropriate or making even racist remarks, it's kind of like, what would be a productive conversation and what would be unproductive? So.
Well, and you know that Uncle Joe is likely going to trigger you because they seem to look at it almost as entertainment for themselves when they trigger other people. So what would you say in any situation, and it could not necessarily be just Uncle Joe, but anybody, when you know they're going to trigger you, what would your advice be for people being triggered?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a, we can almost think of it like a thermometer or something. Like from between 0 and 7, you have a chance to kind of do something different, change the topic, go in the other room, calm down. But once you start to get upset, or like you're saying, triggered, then all bets are off. You just got to get either out of there or safe or somehow de-escalate.
Drink some of the eggnog. A lot of the eggnog.
A lot. And a couple shots of tequila. Kathy and I talk about this all the time, the deeper level to this, right? So the next level to this is, it's not so much the surface issue. It's because I've been doing a lot of work myself on trapped emotions that go back from
childhood,
right? Knowing this, right? Doing the work, understanding this and knowing this and seeing other people interact in the world. This is me talking real time now. That no one is authentically responding from a place of not looking through their 3-year-old glasses. Hmm. Right? Like, so how do you then, like, even that statement of like, all right, you know, you're going to test a gauge with Uncle Joe. And it's deeper shit than that. I'm sorry to say it. It's like, you know,
are you allowed to say that?
I think so. You can go way back, especially when you call it out afterwards. They got beeped. They got delays.
Okay, good.
But I'm passionate about this. And tell me if I'm going off track here, but aren't we dealing with way deeper stuff with this Uncle Joe business than it is just, hey, I'm showing up at a party and, you know, I can't deal with them? Because, you know what? It's the same Uncle Joe that's been doing the same crap for 15 years. So if you haven't adjusted your expectations to that, then you got the issue. But the issue is way deeper than that.
I'm totally with you. Yeah, I think there's like the outer stress and then there's the inner stress. And the external stress, we can't control as much as the inner.
Yeah.
So I think where I'm hearing you go, or where I would go in this situation, is like, what's the voice like in your own head? Like, what's the inner talk that you do? And for most people, it's pretty critical. It's pretty harsh, the way we talk to ourselves, the word, totally. The critical inner voice. So I would at least start with kind of how do you self-soothe a bit?
Okay. Well, I know that the holidays are often time of disappointment for a lot of people. Not to be all, woohoo, let's talk disappointment, but it is reality for a lot of people. And let's talk to you a little bit more about that after the break. And if anybody has a question for therapist David Clow, you can give us a call at 312-981-7200.
We'll be right back. Oh, yes. Welcome back to the Sunday Funday Show. Kathy Hart, Frank Fontana, having some fun with Dr. Clow.
Swearing.
God, Kathy, you need to watch your mouth before I put
that
soap
was awesome
in it.
Awesome you did that.
The book is called You Are Not Crazy, Letters from Your Therapist. The author and Dr. Clow is sitting right across from us. We're talking about dealing with holiday parties, and Kathy, you brought up a really interesting topic during the
break. Well, I'm one of those people that I really enjoy the holidays, and I enjoy gift giving. And for people that say, no, it's better to receive, than a lot of people say it's better to give than to receive, because that's the thing to say. It is nice to receive. However, I really get great enjoyment out of giving, because sometimes I actually put thought into gifts. So it makes me feel good when I see that reaction. And I'm sure it's got to do with me needing validation, and that's a whole nother therapy session. But there's a lot of disappointment, not only in gifts, but how maybe spouses interact, or one spouse expecting something for the holidays as a gift and they don't get it. How do we deal with that kind of disappointment?
Well, that's hard, because the holidays are like a perfect storm. There are so many things going on at once. The emotions are heightened. It's the shortest days of the year, so it's dark or it's colder. And I think we just put a lot of pressure and expectation on ourselves around this time of the year. So if we could be realistic and have some balance, you know, some moderation around gift giving, receiving.
Or maybe communicating more, because I always heard, well, you need to tell me exactly what you want. However, there have been times where I've written out specific things that I would like, and it's nothing crazy, but then I wouldn't get them.
But that's, you know, this goes against Christmas, though. Like, the idea of giving a gift is something I think you might like, not what you think I might get you that you might like. Don't you think? Like,
wait, you just lost me.
So, like,
say it again. Slower.
Perfect example,
from my
right?
Brain.
So, you know, I get shoes. My kids and I bought some sneakers for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't think so much like, is it the perfect color? The kids were like, Daddy, that's the one she's going to like. And then, you know, and it was nice. It wasn't like ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, they gave it to him a little earlier yesterday, and she was like, nah. You know, like, she just wasn't feeling it. You
a
know?
Little
like,
disappointed.
A little disappointed, maybe. I'm like, kind of like, I should have known her style. But I'm thinking at the same time, I'm like,
But then what, that is kind of a thing. It's like, wait, don't you know me enough to know what kind of shoe I like? So
that's a lot of pressure.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But how do you handle the disappointment, not only from the receiver, but the giver? Then everybody's upset.
Yeah, then it's like, I don't
want to
give anything
anymore. So what do you do?
But you love and you care for your child, and that's not really on the line when you give them a gift, right? And so we want to make it so that the gift is not caring how much you love them or care for them. It doesn't say how much you know her or don't know her. It's okay.
It's the expression of giving is what I'm saying. The basic expression of giving. Mm-hmm. The mere fact that I'm giving you something, Kathy, be grateful.
Yes, you should be.
Right?
You should be. But it also seems a little human nature that if I really didn't want a pair of shoes and I wanted something else that I actually specifically asked for,
it feels great when the other person magically knows what we want. That feels wonderful. But in adult relationships, it's usually like, let's set the other person up to succeed in caring for us. So here's what I really want.
Yes.
And then when they give it to you, it still doesn't take away the magic if you've told them.
Well, listen, let's talk to Sue, who's given some issues around self-respect and talking to herself a little bit better. Hey, Sue, thanks for calling the show.
Hi. Thank you. Happy holidays. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
And I love my family and friends, and I've dealt with this pretty much my whole life, that I really strive to get along with people and you know, try and understand and communicate and so on through all the years. And like I said, holidays and other times. And anyway, trying to keep it brief, that it's very, very difficult, again, with all the communicating. Well, it's hard to, especially when some people really want to trigger you, unfortunately. I can want to communicate with them all I want to, but if they're not interested in it, what ends up usually happening is I pretty much end up disrespecting myself and just, you know, being quiet and let them have their way. And I, like I said, to try and have, I'm working on my whole life of, again, mutual respect, even if that other person is not that way.
Well, let's hear what the good doc has to say.
Yeah, well, that's
thank you.
Yeah, that's hard when the person that you're trying to make a connection with and respect and trying to give respect isn't respecting you back. And that's hard. And, you know, and it's great that you want to kind of go high when they go low. And I would say it would be really important that you find people that you do connect with. So to reach out to people who you already have a respectful relationship with, so that you're not alone in that experience where you're just trying to pursue connection with the one person who's unavailable.
Is that a boundary that she's giving them by walking away from the situation?
Yeah, maybe setting some boundaries, having some clarity in terms of when you're communicating, how you're communicating, and then see where the doors are open with other people in your lives where you can make a connection.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. A lot of us go towards the person who's unavailable, you know, to try to like knock down that door.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it that you want from that person? Do you want that attention? Is it a brother, sister, father, friend?
Oh, are you asking Sue?
Yeah, I'm asking Sue. I'm curious.
Oh, so, okay. Things have been difficult in past years, and I have had my part in things, I admit. But they are very, very long-time close friends and family members that I would, you know, hopefully like to somehow...
keep vibing high, Sue. Keep vibing high.
Exactly.
You do.
Thank you so much.
You got it,
girl. Have a great holiday, Sue. You do you.
Thank you. You too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would say that holidays aren't the best time to like try to change a relationship with somebody.
Just get through them.
Like start on January 2nd, then maybe you can try.
Doc, what's your feeling on like if you know cutting negative people out of your life, family or not, friends or not? Why keep them in your life if they're not doing good for you?
Sometimes we don't have a choice, whether it's like an in-law or extended family member. And a lot of times people feel disempowered to kind of set boundaries or cut people out of their lives. But our options aren't just fight, flight, right? That's the stress response. And so if there's any way you can still maintain boundaries, not lose yourself, but not have to dramatically cut somebody off.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes you never know. I think people have the possibility of changing at some point.
What about the Ross and Rachel thing? Just take a break. Can you take a break?
Take a break.
Good point. Within the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Reset. Put things on hold.
What does that look? I mean, we're going to run out of time here. Okay. Do you want to have Doc hang with us for a little bit longer? Or do you? What's up to you, Kath?
Are
you cool with that?
I'd love to.
Stress over the holidays. It's a big topic.
It's a big topic. I feel like we can go in a couple different directions here, but I want to expand on this idea of breaking up within the relationship. And how does that look from a psychological standpoint that both people can understand this? All right.
Awesome.
All right. We'll be right back.
Well, there's no place like home for the holidays.
Sure isn't, is there?
You suck.
Yeah. Son of a Uncle Joe.
I didn't want that for Christmas.
Kind of reminds me of our, A Wonderful Life?
It's a Wonderful Life. And if anybody watched Saturday Night Live last night with Matt Damon and Cicely Strong, why does that name not sound right? I think I said it right.
Cicely Tyson?
No, from SNL, character member from SNL. So they did this skit about they're drinking a glass of wine after the holidays, talking about how awesome it was. But then they flash back to their whole day being a complete nightmare, yelling and screaming. So, yeah, that kind of reminded
good
me of that.
Good topic here. We're talking to Dr. David Clow, author as well. You Are Not Crazy, Letters from Your Therapist. Where can people find the book and you?
on Amazon, and also on my website, which is davidklow.com, K-L-O-W. And my practice is skylightcounselingcenter.com.
Okay, awesome. Excellent. So we are getting some texts and calls, and a text that came in asking, what do you do when, some real-time recommendations, what do you do when you feel you're losing footing or feeling overwhelmed with all the family activity and maybe your to-do list? What do you do to stay grounded, like some instant de-stressors?
Yeah, I mean, stick with your routine of what you would normally do, music, you know, food you like, exercise, staying connected, not isolating, just kind of being in touch with the stuff that normally makes you feel good. The problem is a lot of people, what they reach for to de-stress is usually maladaptive. It causes more problems, like you were talking about with alcohol, mm-hmm. or sugar. And so it's even like not letting yourself go to those quick fixes.
Or some people just completely shut down. And we were talking about loneliness for the holidays. Mm-hmm. The holidays, it seems all emotions are exaggerated. And some people may be dealing with loss of loved ones or just disappointment. And it's a time of year they feel very lonely. What would you suggest for people in that situation?
Yeah, that's what we see a lot of around this time, is increased loneliness and increased missing somebody who was in your life, or like the first holiday season without them. And that can be very difficult for people. So, and not isolating, staying connected, whether it's volunteering or doing something part of like a community or religious organization.
So don't stay connected to the people that are bothering you. Get disconnected from them and connect with people who actually lift you up or activities.
And not necessarily social media, because that might end up making you feel even more disconnected.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, I got a technique that I use that's worked really well, and it's scientifically proven. And Doc, you might have heard of this. What are you smiling for? I didn't even tell you.
You work out, you get your muscles even bigger.
That's a given. It's a breathing technique where you take your tongue and you put it on the roof of your mouth, and you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for 7, and exhale for 8 seconds. And you repeat this 4 times over, and it's clinically proven to lower your heart rate and stress levels. And if you do this repeatedly, I swear, you could do it right now. And
Doesn't it also switch something in your brain?
You have to make a horse-like exhale, though. Like, it's got to be a strong exhale.
Horse-like?
Yeah, like... Yeah, exactly.
Like that?
Keep going like that, Kathy.
That was a really lame horse.
But anyway, that's a quick one. Lame horse. But I want to talk about the topic you brought up about gaming and how addictive it's become, and the battles that are happening in households across America because of this.
Yeah, we were talking about this off air, and you said some of the other counselors at Skylight deal with this, video gaming addiction.
Yeah, one of our staff members, Kevin Lanham, he specializes in working with families and with young adults and kids who are problematic video game usage or internet usage.
Addiction. Let's just call it addiction.
Yeah. I mean,
it can, really what it is.
Yeah, it can become an addiction, especially when you're not following through on other aspects of your life. So somebody could game and then still be very connected and successful in school or at work, but when other things start falling off and you're primarily in front of screens, that's
when they stop going out with friends or socializing or getting active in school sports.
That's right.
That kind of thing.
That's right.
I mean, you got a youngster.
I do.
I mean, how do you handle it?
He's almost 11, and especially, you know, coming up with holiday break, it's like, and I'm sure other moms are like this, like, oh crap, I have to find stuff for him to do. And because it's a long time, and when you're not used to having your child at home all day, it's so easy. And I will admit I'm guilty of it. On weekends, I will let him play longer than he should because I'm busy doing something else, or the things I suggest that we do, like make cookies, like he's getting too old for that, or he's stupid. So what do you do in a situation like that?
It's hard because it's a change in routine, right? And that's stressful in and of itself. And then you combine it with all the holiday stuff. It's hard. You want to keep upgrading what you're doing with your children based on where they are developmentally. And a lot of families, they'll kind of be running some old rules of like when he was 5. Mm-hmm. But now we got to kind of upgrade it to mom and child 2.0 and make it, you know, what we do at age 7. So that includes, you know, even bedtime rituals and all sorts of rules in your house. A lot of families keep doing it the old way and without kind of checking in with their child about where we are now.
Okay.
What about the, you know, I hear lots of stories, and even my son, who's 7, I won't get him an Xbox. He won't have his own phone. He's not going to have Nintendo gaming units for a while.
Wait.
I know.
Till when? What age are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm going to ride it out as long as I can, though.
Good luck.
I have, you know, he'll have a couple games on my phone that he'll play for maybe 10 to 15 minutes at a time. But he knows, like, I scare the crap. It's like the old school, like, you know, you drink, you're going to crash your car. And they show you videos of, like, mangled cars. I kind of explain to him that it's literally frying your freaking brain. Like, if you want to be, you know, one of those kids that walk around and bang into a wall because your brain is all fried, then go ahead, keep playing. And he's at an age where he can understand that concept of, like, oh, my God, if I do this too much. And then sometimes he'll be watching a TV and see a commercial about this stuff. And be like, oh, like that, Daddy? I'm like, yes, see that? That kid's fried. You don't want to be that kid.
Well, David, yeah. I think one of the problems is these games are designed to be addicting. So how do we handle that?
And rewarding. Like, yeah. If you just take your character and cross the bridge, you now level up. And mm-hmm. Life's not like that. You don't get that kind of instant feedback right away. But I love what Frank is saying about collaborating with your child to look at it together. The more you can take the struggle dynamic out of it, that you're having to police it, the better. I mean, that's hard, but I mean, you're already getting him to be a little more self-aware and self-monitoring, and that's tremendous.
And it's a work in progress, folks. Yeah. By no means am I doing everything right. Trust me.
But I know we have to take a break, but real quick, what do you think about rewarding video gaming time as using it as a reward?
Yeah, maybe as a reward rather than as a punishment, like I'm going to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
Then that becomes way too emotional.
Wait, so you're saying if I do this good, Mom, you're going to let me play it for 15 minutes. Is that what you're saying, Kathy?
Yes,
yeah.
To use that as a reward. Or you get a little extra time if you've done something reward worthy.
I like that. It's already built into the schedule that we're doing some gaming, and maybe you can even earn some extra.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a way more complicated topic than just purely behavior.
I feel like it's bribing, but I don't care if it works.
No, and I think as long as it stays at a certain level, but when you read stuff in the news about, you know, kids, you know, literally killing their grandparents or their parents with hammers because they were forced
God.
To... No, I'm
going deep.
True story, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's
rough.
Insane. Like, that's the ultimate of this, is where it can go, is that addiction is addiction, whether it's heroin, gaming, and the reaction to taking away somebody's drugs could be very violent. But anyway, on a good note, Merry Christmas!
On that note, David Clow, yeah. No, it's good. Thank you. You've been very helpful. And again, tell us where people can get a hold of you.
Either at skylightcounselingcenter.com or davidclow.com if you're interested in my book.
Okay, excellent. And the book is You Are Not Crazy, Letters from Your Therapist. Congratulations on your first book, and I hope we see many more from you.
Oh, thank you so much.
After you have kids. Okay. And let's cut to a break.
Yeah. I'm away downtown, walking
fast, faces pass, and I'm welcome back to the Sunday Fun Day Show with myself, Montana. That's Kathy Hart.
Yes, recovering on all the stress that's coming up for the holidays.
All the stress we're creating for people by listening to this.
Well, I mean, no, everybody experiences some level of stress. Level of stress right now for me is that I have very few gifts purchased. I had a lot of stuff going on, and some things got worked out, so now I have some breathing room.
Mostly online or in person?
I try to do a little bit of both. I'm into like small business as much as possible, but you just can't help Amazon. It's so convenient with Amazon. So I try to do a little bit of both. If it is small business, then if it's something I can get from there, I'll go for it.
Now, I know they say it's time saving, but because there's so much on Amazon to sift through to get to, like, even if you put it in the category of water bottles, there's like a million water bottle companies out there. Like, do you find yourself more time online than you would actually if you just ran to Dick's Sporting Goods and got a water bottle?
No, I've learned to know specifically what I'm searching for.
So you put brand name in, size, color,
mostly.
Everything.
Otherwise, I'll just get lost.
Yeah.
I'll get completely consumed, and it'll be an hour later, and I'm thinking, I could have gone out and purchased this, but I didn't. So get the few gifts to get. And last night I was up till about 11:30 doing the holiday Christmas card, because it used to be a big thing
for me.
You still
handwrite every Christmas card?
No. So I've gone the convenient route, and I'm so disappointed in myself. But again, it's more pressure that we put on ourselves, because it seems like moms take on the majority of the load when it comes to thinking of the meals and sending out the Christmas cards and all that stuff. So
sure.
I totally went the easy route. I've spent some years where it took me days and they were handmade cards. I was trying all this Martha Stewart crap and I'm like, no. Last night it took me half hour. It was wonderful.
What did you do?
I just went to Walgreens.com and uploaded some photos, found a nice card, and bam, it's done. I can pick it up on my way home.
You know what's even easier? I've been contemplating this. I'm trying to talk my wife into this, but she won't do it. E-Blast. What if you did an e-card?
I don't like e-cards.
Wait, look, you could do videos. Like, you could record a video of you and the family. Like, hey, it's Kathy and the kids.
Okay, the video wouldn't be bad, but if it was just an e-card, then I don't know.
Technically, it would last longer than a card. Most people, come on. Folks, 312-917-200. How long do you keep Christmas cards after Christmas? Do you throw them out right away? Let's just get to Kathy's point here. I think you'd save an email longer than you would an actual card.
No, but emails, they're difficult to... Okay. No, what I do is I save all my Christmas cards, and what I do is I put them all each year in a Ziploc bag with the year written on them. So...
Wait. The cards people send to you?
Yes, because only if they're like family picture cards. If it's just a card with, I don't know, like a cardinal and some sparklies on the cover, I don't save those. But if it's, because all my friends who have had kids throughout the years, I get to see their card each year, and it's kind of cool to go back like 10 years and
see. So
they
do that for people like you, because I just got one of those. I'm like, why would this person put a year, and what do I care that it, like, you know, like you're telling me the different stages? It's for people like you who save these.
So I don't do the whole letter updating everybody on what happened to our family throughout the year, because if they know us well enough, then they know what happened. But and that's also entirely too much work. Yeah. But I do at the end of the holiday season, when I'm taking all the ornaments down and all that stuff, I get a Ziploc bag and I put all the Christmas cards with family photos in one baggie. And save it for the next year. And
What do you do with them after that?
I get them out periodically and just look at the pictures to see how the kids have changed.
Wow.
Is that lame?
No, it's totally cute and nice.
Whatever. So
it's a lot of work, though.
I almost didn't even do cards this year, but I thought, I can't have a year where I don't have a card.
Did you do anything fun with a dog or anything?
No, but I did include the dog on, like, the back of the card. It's all family on the front, and then the dog.
Because he would have stole the show if you put him on the cover.
Totally. I mean,
you guys
would have
been non-existent.
For sure, because he's a puppy, and it's the cutest picture ever.
Augie sent us a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Kathy and the kids in the back.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be too cute. I almost did a secondary picture of the crap that he took all over the rug.
That would have been great.
That is our life.
Yeah. Let's see. We got some text coming in on the topic. Christmas card idea for your families. Put them all on a basket on your counter or table. And then starting in January, pull a card out every few days. Talk about the people who mailed it to you and how they are important to you. That's nice.
That's really sweet.
And now my mom can stop texting the show.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I thought it was going to be something like take a bunch of stack of cards, get a metal bin, take some lighter fluid, and then light a match and burn them.
Do you guys do Christmas cards?
We do. I don't
pictures
know what
of the
my
kids.
Wife's
you have
doing.
Little
no,
kids.
No, we don't. Actually, we don't. We're not like that. Like, we are.
What are you like?
I don't know. We're like, we get nice cards, like stylish cards.
Are you saying my card's not nice?
No, I'm just saying, you know, we do it different. That's all. No, not better. I mean, just
teasing.
Honestly, I don't even know what we do quite. Usually, it's like she'll get some pretty card and send it out to everybody. But we're like those people who get, you might get your gift after Christmas. It might come.
And you know what a lot of people are doing is if they don't have time before the holidays, they do the Happy New Year card, and then they'll send you a picture of the family and, you know, have a blessed 2019.
That's smart. You're combining it all.
Buys them some time.
I like that.
Yes.
Or you do it really early, like just to get it out. Like, hey, this is your Christmas present. It's November, but you're getting your Christmas present. Just
Christmas
cover.
Present or Christmas card?
Christmas everything. Christmas everything.
Because I got one on December, I want to say 2nd. The people at Ravinia always give Christmas cards way early. And I love it. I get so excited. And then by the end of like next week is going to be slammed with Christmas cards in mailboxes.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Oh, I get this.
People
oh,
saying like
this.
A lot of good ideas coming. You can make scrapbooks out of them, all the old cards. I could totally see you up at night scrapbooking.
No, that's really ambitious. I thought it was ambitious enough just putting them all in a Ziploc baggie for the year.
I was with you. I thought that was pretty ambitious and unexpected. I might say that. Hey, you know what people don't hate? Mexican food.
Oh, love. And
coming up after the news, we have the one of the founders of Dos Toros.
Yeah, DT coming to Chicago.
DT's coming to Chicago. There are lots of locations all over the East Coast. They're going to make a big splash in here. Originally from Silicon Valley area, I think, in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's going to be fun because you know what? They're bringing Mexican food, and I am a fan of Mexican food.
That's going to be great in the studio.
We'll see. We'll see how good these guys are. We'll be right back. I'm so happy, Kathy.
Oh, my. Anytime there's food in the studio,
so
happy
good.
Girl.
The folks from Dos Toros are here. Oh, God. It's so good.
Did you? I know you already ate all yours, like, when we were off the air. But
totally. Totally did.
First, we should probably introduce our guest.
No, I'm just going to keep eating. You do
you
that.
You keep eating.
Keep eating.
Oliver Kremer, co-founder, and Leo. We should explain the Third Eye Blind song.
Yeah.
Your brother, Leo, played in the band.
Unfortunately, couldn't be here today. Wishes he could.
He
is in New York City with his family.
Excuses.
Spending
excuses.
Some good quality time with his kids.
So
he played for Third Eye Blind, actually, for 2 years.
What was that?
In 2000. It's crazy. Not his original band, and he wasn't their original bassist, but it was a pretty epic ride for him, and he actually quit doing that to launch Dos Toros with me.
So tell us about Dos Toros, because everybody in New York knows all about it. People in Chicago are starting to be more familiar with
it. So yes. Quite simply, we grew up in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area, where the burrito is ubiquitous, and the Mission style burrito, which you guys are both snacking on right now.
Thus, I'm not talking. I mean,
so wait, am I an idiot? What's Mission style?
So it's several things. First and foremost, it's a foil wrapped burrito.
Okay.
There's various kind of disciples in the Bay Area and different parts of the city that do it slightly differently. But we were modeled off of a place called Gordo Taqueria, where there's several locations throughout the Bay Area.
Okay.
And, you know, we grew up eating there. Really 3 to 5 days a week.
Wow.
For like 20 years.
I was going to ask you how you built up your palate.
Yes. Well, we built up the passion and the love for the food just kept growing and growing. And one day we kind of realized, you know, maybe we could turn this into a business and we could share our passion for the food, with New York City and now with Chicago.
I was going to say, how did you end up in New York if you were West Coast?
So we knew we had to bring the burrito from somewhere where there was plenty of it to somewhere that we thought needed a little help. Not that there isn't good Mexican food in New York, and I think there's actually really great Mexican food here in Chicago.
That's a huge competitive market for any food genre, in
totally.
My opinion.
But, you know, again, we're very specific in what our offering is, and we really are laser-focused on the few things that we serve. We brought some of them here, the burrito, as I mentioned, as well as tacos, quesadillas, and then the bowl, which we call
the carnitas are on point. I mean, it's
thank you.
All right, I'm
so
going to take
good.
A bite.
Please
thank
do.
You.
The guac, just stop. It was unbelievable.
I appreciate that.
And I'm not and, just kissing your ass. It was one of
you cares
I'm not.
Now.
No, I'm not. I think.
You
I mean,
you almost
so
went ass.
Yeah.
Good guacamole
guac.
Comes from good avocados. Basically, you can't fake it.
Yeah.
And we only source avocados from California and Mexico, and they're. You know, it's creamy and buttery and, you know, it's nature's butter, the avocado.
I agree. I eat like probably two a day, legit, all the time.
There you go. It's got the omegas too, the healthy fats, all that
all
good stuff.
All day long. So,
so good.
Were you an entrepreneur before this venture?
I mean, in college, I started an off-campus housing website with my buddy, but that, no, basically not.
A little site called Facebook. You might have heard of it. Right.
And I graduated from Washington University in St. Louis in 2008. And basically just started cooking. My brother and I just started, we hosted some dinner parties where we were first tinkering with the recipes. And we just decided that we were going to try our hand at burritos.
Just go all in and do this.
Yeah.
Because it sounds so like surreal. Like, yeah, we were in the kitchen and we love burritos. We started a business and now we're like gazillionaires and we have like 50 locations.
Yeah. So
there's a couple missing components there. Like, how did you get funding? How did you do the fundamental business things
sure.
for an entrepreneur to get you there?
So we were really fortunate that we were able to raise from our friends and family enough to launch this little tiny taqueria off of Union Square on 4th Avenue in New York City. That was our first one. And it was really on a shoestring budget. It's a great location. And it really felt like a little kind of neighborhood taqueria there, except in the big city. And we got a really wonderful New York Times review a few months after opening. And business just kind of exploded after that.
So were you and your brother Leo, like, in the back making the burritos?
Yeah. The same thing.
We
flipping burritos back there?
At the beginning, we were there, 24-7. We've been unbelievably fortunate to have a wonderful team that has grown a lot over the last 9.5 years now. And yes, we were in the kitchen every day at the beginning. I still roll burritos. We still take catering orders on really big days. I was actually at our one North Dearborn location on Friday rolling burritos. And for the grand opening of our fourth location here in Chicago in the base of the John Hancock Tower, which is tomorrow, I will be on the service line as well.
Is it the dollar burrito thing?
That's right. So tomorrow is $1 burritos.
Folks, did you hear that? Hold on. Pause. $1 burritos.
And these are big-ass burritos.
And, you know, they well, you know, they're not... It's not just about the size, but thank you. And actually,
size doesn't matter.
I'm going to leave that alone.
We're really excited to really be kind of, not that we have three locations here already, but this is our fourth. This is the most high profile in the base of the Hancock Tower. And we love Chicago. We're here to stay.
Wait, did I see that you guys love Chicago so much that you ran the Chicago Marathon?
I was just going to thank, yes, we did. In fact, it was the most difficult thing and certainly the most difficult thing my brother has ever done physically in our lives. And we were corporate partners with the marathon. And actually, I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. That was like a day I'll never forget.
So you're fitter than your brother is what you're saying.
You know, your words, not mine.
Are you guys twins?
We are not twins. He's 5 years older.
Wow.
He's the older
Not that
Toro.
You don't look good. I mean,
so did you have a better time?
Very much.
I did have a better time. I did. I mean, not crazy, but it was... Anyway, the times don't matter. The fact that we ran the marathon was awesome.
Did it get competitive?
Oh, you could tell
it did a little bit.
Right?
At moments, my sister-in-law was waiting in a few spots, and I asked her, I was like, is Leo close? Is he right behind me? And she was like, he's right behind you. You better keep running.
Ah.
And so I sprinted. What I wanted to say about tomorrow's $1 burrito day, though, is that we're actually partnered with the Greater Chicago Food Depository. And for every burrito we sell, we are going to be donating one meal to the Chicago Food Depository.
Wow.
As we've done for each of our $1 burrito days. And we've already, to date, donated more than 13,000 meals.
That's fantastic.
Which we're super excited about. And they're a wonderful partner. And we're excited to do so tomorrow. And if you post on Instagram with hashtag Dos Toros Shy, we will donate an additional meal to the Greater Chicago.
Good to know.
Yes.
You guys got a couple things on point here. A lot of things. One,
Thank you.
You know, like your hip factor's there. The logo's cool. I'm a branding guy. Like, I'm being serious right now. I love, occasionally I get serious. The Dos Toros, you know, fonts are really cool. And your connection to social, your vibe, I could see it. I could feel it. You guys are dialed in to where you need to be today to blow a business like this up in such a competitive market. So kudos to you, man.
Well, thank you very much. You know, we take it one burrito at a time. As I said before, we have the best team in the business. And we try to keep it fun. We actually make some kind of silly spoof parody music videos that are kind of like odes to guacamole. We did Guac It Out set to Walk It Out.
Yeah.
We did Quesadilla fun. Love set to California Love. Black or Pinto instead of Wiz Khalifa's Black and Yellow. Funny stuff. And it's a great way to involve the team, all of the actors and rappers and singers, and even the directors of the videos are all Dos Toros team members. So,
really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Knowing your customer and just doing it right on social media.
Keeping it fun, but, you know, taking our food very seriously.
All right.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. You want to talk a little more taco when we come back?
I'll always talk taco.
You put some food in front of her, she'll talk about anything all day. All right, we'll be right back. Co-founder of Dos Toros Taqueria, opening up locations left and right in Chicago, all over New York. These guys are doing, we just sampled, Kathy, a good array of their top. Would you say these are the top?
It's
absolutely,
yeah.
Carnitas burrito,
mm-hmm.
Steak and chicken tacos. Yeah, I mean, it's
honest review,
hits.
Kathy. Live
good.
Honest review. Tell me.
Okay, the guac, and I'm not lying, you must have some kind of secret something in there because it's really good guac.
That's the love.
And I'm a guac snob. Really, really good, but there's something in there that I can't quite pinpoint that I think is the secret.
I didn't
in the guacamole.
It.
Yes.
It's a simple guacamole.
Can I use my finger?
Well, no, keep talking because I don't want to eat.
You don't put sour cream in it, do you?
We do not. It's
God, I hate when they do
dairy-free, our guacamole. I think there's ways that you can kind of cheat where you can try to spruce it up. I heard olive oil. I've seen it. It's a pretty interesting thing to
do
add to guacamole.
Paprika in there at all?
We do not. And our guacamole, it's super simple. Again, it really just comes down to using the most beautiful, ripe avocado.
Right. I think that's
a bold statement.
Key. It's really key. But one of the things that you guys do is you're locally sourced as much as possible.
As right? much as we possibly can. Actually, a partner that we're really excited to be working with here in Chicago and also in New York now is Milagro Tortilleria out here from Chicago. We were looking for a local supplier before we opened here back in September of last year. And I went out to Milagro and I met with their founder and their facility and their tortillas. It's just so high quality. It's the best tortillas I've basically ever had.
And you've had a few.
And I've had
your research for this project must have been awesome.
It continues to be awesome.
It
yes,
does, yeah.
That's one of the best parts. But no, we actually source those Milagro tortillas in New York City for all of our restaurants there.
And, how about the meat? Is it like farm raised cows?
Sure, and... absolutely. All of our proteins are 100% naturally raised, hormone and antibiotic free. That's our grilled chicken, our grilled steak, and that braised pork carnitas that you were just enjoying.
Good stuff. So it's happy pigs.
It's happy pigs, and we. Our carnitas are, I think, they're so special and they're so beautiful. And they're, I think a lot of restaurants will try to just, they'll serve you like a pulled pork.
Yes.
And they'll tell you it's carnitas.
Big difference.
It's a, there are it, very big differences. And the biggest one is that we sear the carnitas, these beautiful cubes of pork that we butcher in-house from whole shoulders. And we sear them, and then we slow cook them overnight.
I tasted that difference. I'm going to be honest with you, because I was just going to say it's the char on the outside,
the caramelization,
on the outside, but you know, mixed with the tenderness as you pull it, but you're still keeping that slight crisp on the outside, and it comes through on in the burrito, comes through on the dish you ate.
Perfect.
The very texture, totally. That, you nailed it. And you know, we also another huge thing that's different about our burritos is that we melt cheese onto the tortilla. We steam the tortilla, we melt a slice of cheese right onto it. I think a lot of other Mexican places, maybe you get
it kind
of
split
and it's on top of like other cold items, so it doesn't actually ever melt.
That's been the biggest complaint for some people that go to a fast casual that is very well known throughout the country, that it's a lot of cold ingredients on the hot meat.
And Mexican food is supposed to have melted cheese. In addition, we charge $1 to add guacamole, where certain competitors, which I'm not going to name, charge an arm and a leg for it, and it's punitive.
Like it's brown.
It's supposed to feel good to add guacamole. You're not supposed to feel like you're being fiscally irresponsible when you put it on your burrito.
It's true.
And at Dos Toros, we take a different approach because we want everyone to add it because we know it's so delicious.
How fantastic it is. So we only have a couple more minutes, but tell us one question that I wanted to ask you, because you've got a business background. If anybody is looking to start a business of their own, do you have suggestions?
Sure.
Don't do the restaurant business.
First and foremost, don't open. No, I'm kidding. I'd say just start with passion. If you're not deeply and fundamentally excited and animated by whatever business or product you want to serve or make, that's a problem and it's never going to work. Additionally, you have to be ready to jump in all the way. I've never really heard of anybody kind of as a side project trying to launch something without both feet in and have it work.
So, ready to roll burritos 24 hours a day.
Do it.
That's right. I'll be doing it tomorrow at John Hancock Tower for $1 burritos.
Okay, so we know that location. Tell us the other locations that you have in Chicago.
Certainly. So we're at the corner of Dearborn and Madison at 1 North Dearborn. We're at the corner of Wacker and Jackson at 300 South Wacker. And then we are in the Wells Street Market, which is an awesome food hall located in the top, the North Loop at Wells and Wacker.
Love it. And on a side note, did you for one second see how big this was going to get for you guys when you conceived this idea?
No, I really didn't. I mean, so yeah, tomorrow is number 20 for us, which is
20.
Crazy. Again, it's just a reflection of how awesome our team is. The fact that we've been able to have success and continue serving and sharing the burritos we love with New York and Chicago and hopefully beyond, you know, one burrito at a time.
Dos Toros, and tell the time tomorrow. I want to make sure people know the time, because I think when you opened the Dearborn location, there was a long line. So if people want to prepare for this dollar burrito tomorrow, what time?
Totally. So it's from the first session is from 11:15 a.m. to 2:15 p.m. The line's probably going to start getting pretty intense by 11 or so, maybe before that. And then from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the evening time again. And the line moves quickly, but it's going to... You know, come early, and you can get back in line.
It's
twice
worth
if you
it.
Want.
I'm telling you.
And you're still making those fresh, right?
I mean, oh even my god! Above, every single thing is made from scratch, and every single item is made in front of you, on the service line, in collaboration with you.
There you go. It's not one of those, like, let's make 100 burritos in advance and hand them out.
As long as I'm alive, we'll never do anything like
people
that.
People like that are asking. Okay, so people are asking the name. It's Dos Toros, D-O-S Toros Taqueria. One location is at 875 North Michigan Ave, and the other one is at?
One is at 1 North Dearborn, 300 South Wacker, and then 205 Wacker in the Wells Street Market.
Got it.
Ladies, Oliver is single. If you'd like to put in your pictures, you can post them on our WGN page. We'll post a handsome shot of young Oliver.
Yes.
This very, you know, successful entrepreneur. He travels back and
might
forth.
Might be too busy making burritos.
What's your sign, Oliver?
Oh, God.
I'm a Capricorn.
He's a Capricorn. He likes long walks. To the burrito stand. All right. Now that he's turned purple and red, we've done our job, Kathy.
Yes, indeed.
All right. We're going to take a break here. Oliver, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, guys.
Thanks. And, congratulations.
Hampelby and Kaz are ready to deliver. It's 24-14 Bears.
Wow.
Very exciting here. We'll be right back.
Look at that.
All right. That does it for Kathy and I.
No. It was terrible timing.
What do you mean? You got a burrito stuffed in your mouth.
I'm so sorry.
I mean... Jen, you got to see this.
I was trying to be so polite.
I'm just jealous.
Feed my face while he was here.
So good. A lot of people asking what the name of that restaurant again. It's Dos Toros Taqueria. They're pretty new to Chicago, but the food, I can tell you, is fantastic. Yeah, Kathy, you can
Dos
tell
Toros,
us.
DT.
DT, baby.
And it's really good.
It's really good, guys.
Jen will save you some.
Awesome. Hey,